And I feel like what you've done a really good job of, and I kind of want to spend our time on today, is you've actually went from the successful agent to the successful agency owner. And I feel like building being a personal producer, a successful producer, to running a successful company and actually being a real business is two totally different things. People think, dude, I was a great personal producer, so I'm going to build a strong business. That's not always the case. What is up? Welcome back to the CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. Today, we got a special guest in office, man. He's been in office studio before. Mm-hmm. I think maybe also virtually before as well.
We've done some virtual, yeah.
Amazing job on the podcast. We also have our Ultimate Agent Academy, where I'm coaching agents every single week. If you're ever looking for help for a coach, you can go to ultimateagentacademy.com to join that. Also in that academy, our guest, Mr. Bobby Jones, CEO of Delta Benefits Group, did a class in there to help new agents with marketing and budgets. Phenomenal class. Make sure you check that out. Either way, welcome back, Mr. Bobby
Jones. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. I love having you here, man. From Memphis, Tennessee to Springfield, Missouri. Kind of similar places, really. I don't think they're like that different. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, there's a few.
Yeah.
Our crime rate seems a little bit higher.
I could see that.
Maybe a whole lot. But no, it's the same. I mean, the weather's typical, you know, winter, rainy, kind of cold. But
probably similar weather, I guess.
Yeah.
I spoke at an event in Memphis last year, several months back, 4 or 5 months ago. And yeah, it was good, man. Yeah.
Memphis has got a lot of good points. I mean,
yep. And we're coming back to Memphis. We're doing an event together in August.
In August, right?
In Memphis.
Yeah,
which
I'm looking forward to it.
Exciting. I'm looking forward to that too. There's a lot of places we could take this conversation. Obviously, you started as an agent. You had success as an agent. Then you've built an agency where you are doing thousands of Medicare apps a year with a agents, right? In-house, remote, et cetera. They're like helping clients. And you go direct to consumer. You spend like $600,000 a year on a marketing budget, maybe more. Every time we talk, it's more.
It's
higher.
A little more.
See, every time, man.
Well, when we add people, we have to add more budget.
That's true. Yeah, and when you've seen stuff that works, and it's kind of like a lot of agents are like, Cody, I'm buying 20 leads a week, and I'm making $4,000. Like that happened recently. They're like, how do I go to 8,000? I'm like, the first step is to buy twice as many leads.
How about some multiplication?
What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's scalable. It's such a scalable business. Once you find something that works, exactly as you say, we'll put more money at it. If we see that TV is working well, we'll put some money. Now, I do feel that TV kind of has a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a decreasing rate of return after a while. You reach a plateau.
So is it like a shelf life?
Maybe not a shelf life as much as like if I spend $30,000 on TV, right, and I'm going to get X amount of clients from it. If I spend 60, it's probably not going to double.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
Diminishing rate of returns.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for.
I got that.
So,
okay, cool.
You can't put a price. You can't put a price on brand exposure. You know, just that kind of thing. You can't measure it all the time by number of clients because clients will trickle in all the time from something they may have seen. I've done seminars, Cody. This is a little bit off of the TV thing, but I have done seminars back in 2019 that I still get clients from today. Hey, I was at your seminar 3-4 years ago. And now I'm turning 65, and I kept your number. So any kind of brand awareness, you know, it's always money well spent.
No doubt about it. And that's the cool thing about marketing is, like, it's you don't know. Like, literally, for our business, we still get people that will come back to us that we originally met in 2017. You know what I mean? Like, 7 years later. Like, that's the cool part about putting yourself out there, building a business. And I feel like what you've done a really good job of, and I kind of want to spend our time on today, is – You've actually went from the successful agent to the successful agency owner. And I feel like building being a personal producer, a successful producer, to running a successful company and actually being a real business is two totally different things.
Two totally different things.
And people think, dude, I was a great personal producer, so I'm going to build a strong business. That's not always the case.
No, you have to have some organizational skills. You have to learn, especially as you get bigger, and we're nowhere near. I'm not going to say that we're big. We're doing our goal this year is 5,000 apps. So we'll hit that, or
awesome.
You know, we're going to have a bloodletting.
That's right. But, that's right. I love that.
But no, we'll hit our 5,000 apps.
You're not competitive at all either.
No.
He doesn't set goals. He's not competitive. He's not serious about this thing.
Well, but anyway, you have to learn to let go of a little bit of control, you know, and trust the people that you have hired in these positions to run this thing. Because you'll run yourself nuts. You'll drive yourself crazy.
Yes.
There's a spot between personal producer and agency owner to where you're building it that you can still, and I enjoyed that part of it too, to where I, you know, if money was short, I knew I could get on the phone and I could crank out some apps real quick. So totally. I think that's very important for people who are great salespeople moving into that. You know, keep your skills honed, because you may have to rely on that to pay the rent until you can get your agency up and running. But yes, for sure, you've got to let go of some control. You've got to put some systems and processes in place in order to have a successful agency.
Yeah, and I love the one word you said is the word I've been preaching for years: control. It's so interesting because I don't do as much coaching as I used to do, but I used to like coach agents on, hey, how they're like trying to build a business, right? And I feel like all I've been doing for the last 8 years is like build different companies. As I did that, the number one thing I noticed of the 250K earner, the 500K earner, the $750,000 earner, is they were control freaks. They wouldn't want to delegate. They literally were choking the life out of everything. And they thought they were the best at everything. And it's like, dude, you're never going to grow something if you have to do it all. Now, do you have to personally produce for a minute to pay the bills? Totally. You know, it probably took you a few years to, even when you were building a business, to really get out of personal production, to where now you probably do very little personal production.
Very little.
You know, you probably still enjoy it every now and then. However, you don't really have to do it. You're doing 5,000 apps with a team. But you had to give up control to a degree. It doesn't mean you aren't in control, because Bobby Jones is totally in control, I promise you. But he surrounds himself with enough good people. It's like we're doing a podcast right now. We're in the studio in our office in Springfield, Missouri. Dylan, who's been with me for almost 6 years, freaking incredible dude, phenomenal at helping build a brand. The moment I relinquished control to someone I trusted, dude, the brand exploded. And it grew faster than if I would have tried to hoard it and control it all myself. What's your opinion on that?
Absolutely, 100%. You can't be, you know, like you say, in control of every single aspect of accounts receivable, of policy issues, of lapses, of all of those things. You just can't. You can't do it. You have to pick and choose the right people and put your trust in them and say, "This is your project. Run with it." Now, I'm going to do checks on them. I'm going to make sure that, you know, things are in line. Or if I see that we have a persistency problem, I'm going to go to my, you know, people and say, wait a minute, it seems like these numbers are a little out. But that's pretty much it. I mean, the day-to-day of that sort of thing, you have to let go of. As a matter of fact, just this past week, I just hired an operations manager who is, because my weakness, I know how I want something to look, but as far as putting the processes and the systems together, it's not my strong point. I do know how I want it to look. Yep. I'm just not an artist enough to put it together. So I hired a guy who was. And it wasn't cheap, but I feel 100% certain that we will, instead of the 35% growth that I'm projecting this year, we'll probably go more like to 50 or 60% because I'm going to let this gentleman take care of all of the processes and systems that we have.
There's a book that talks about that. I think it's called Rocket Fuel.
Yeah.
And it's about all the most successful companies have a visionary and an implementer. And businesses struggle in the early days because the visionary is trying to do all the implementing, and that's not their strong suit. Like, I'm an okay organizational person at like getting things done and helping it, you know, holding a team accountable to execute to a degree. But like, you know, Dylan's way better at implementing in the brand section. Cassie's way better at implementing in the office manager position, right? Lauren way better at overseeing and implementing in the finance division, right? Where I can be the visionary, you know, and it sounds like you're finding a implementer that can help take your ideas and the business and do what's best and actually make sure it gets implemented.
Exactly. And my strong suit, and probably yours too, is campaigns. We can look and see what campaign that we're wanting, and you know, we design it, we know exactly, and then you have to turn it loose and say, okay, let's run with it and see how it's going to work. You monitor the progress, but you can't just be thumb on it every single time, because there's lots of other things. You know, you're on to the next campaign.
Yeah.
This one's working. Let's see, can we improve it? Can we expand it? Or do we need to start something new? Those are the things that I do best, and I would imagine that you're exactly the same way.
Totally. For those agents out there that are like, okay, I'm making $500,000 a year, we'll call it. At what point should they start considering adding staff?
Scaling,
recruiting.
Right. Well, at 500 a year, I mean, you've got some. I would hope that you would have some disposable income that you could invest in your business. I mean, it's 40 grand a month. I would say take a portion of it and let's go, okay, well, I'm going to add an office manager if you don't have one already. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get to a $500,000, I would think, if you don't have some people.
You normally at least have an assistant.
They have an assistant, and good point, an assistant, there's just no way to make it without it. Even if you're just starting, borrow some money, do whatever you have to do to get an assistant.
That's
so
amazing.
You don't have to do, every single little, you don't need to be answering the emails and all of that kind of thing. You need to be concentrating on what you do best, which is selling insurance.
Yeah.
You got to put the people in place. The guy making that kind of money could afford an office manager, a comptroller. We have these things in place now. It just makes life so much easier. And
true.
Don't look at it as spending money on people. You're investing in your business, and you get that money back. I can promise you that. That money's going to come back two or threefold or more if you hire the right person. So if you're hired somebody and you look at it as a cost, you've got the wrong person.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Yeah, people always say like, I don't want to delegate this to them. It's like, okay, then you don't trust the person you're delegating to, and you need to find someone you do, because like, Lindsay is not like my personal assistant, but she does manage my schedule, right? And does an amazing job at that, right? And I would be literally lost without her, truthfully. I also heard, I think it was Patrick Bet David back in the day, that shared like this formula on whether you should hire an assistant or not. And it's based around like, they said, okay, about how much do you make per hour? And let's just say someone makes, let's just call it a couple hundred grand a year, is like $100 an hour, you know? So let's just call it $100 an hour. And if you have like 10 hours of your schedule that you could delegate to an assistant, hypothetically, right? That's $1,000. Okay. So you have 20 hours of your schedule you could delegate to an assistant. That's $2,000, yep. Right? Can you hire an assistant for less than $2,000? Yes. Even if you paid one well, they start out at $800, right? Something like that. You literally have $800 to $2,000. You have a 2.5x return on your own time by hiring an assistant. And do you believe that you can go make more than $800 with those additional 20 hours you have?
No, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
Freak out would help, so.
No doubt. If you're making $100 an hour, $150 an hour, don't do $20 an hour work. Because you're costing yourself $80 to $150 an hour.
Yep.
I mean, it's silly. Looking at it from the beginning and going, well, that's a cost that I'm going to incur. It's just, you just trust me, take the step, hire it, and you'll look back on it and go, it's the best money that I've spent.
Yep.
Now I'm free to do, when you're free to do what you're best at, your higher purpose, whatever it is that you feel, if it's selling one-on-one, if it's training, if it's recruiting, whatever it is, you concentrate because those are the high ticket items, the selling, the recruiting, the agency building. That's where you're going to make your money in this business. And if you're, running to Office Depot to get paper or whatever, you're not able to utilize your time wisely.
No. Yeah. My dad even told me growing up, he's like, make enough money that if you don't want to mow your yard because you don't enjoy it, you pay somebody to do it. He's like, if you make $100 an hour, don't fix the sink when you can pay someone $40. You know, and then just all these things that like lessons, really like future business lessons that I was being taught over the course of my childhood that I didn't even realize until later, you know?
Yeah.
Do you do that, or is it like, no, I love mowing the lawn and I do it?
I love the way that a lawn looks mowed.
I love that answer. I'm with you there.
But as far as pushing that thing or riding on it, I don't have the time or ability. I mean, I get to the office early, about 6:30 in the morning. And I'll usually stay till about 6:30 or 7 at night.
Yeah.
Or if I'm not at the office, I'm doing something related to it. But sure. But no, trying to fit time in order to cut the grass or to pull weeds or whatever is just not something that yeah. I can do. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on some people want to be an entrepreneur that can disconnect and not have to worry about the business in the office after 5 o'clock or on a Saturday or a Sunday or an evening or a holiday?
Well, I would like that person to teach me that because I haven't learned it. I
have not either.
it's my kind, but I'm lucky because
that's the reason why you're so successful too, though.
Well, and maybe
you're obsessed with growing your business,
and it's. I tell people all the time, they go, what are your hobbies? I said, work is my hobby. It's no not, doubt. I don't feel like I'm at work. It's always a check. I know that there are days that, you grind sure. through, of course. But all in all, there's not a day that I wake up that I don't look forward to going in. There's something that, that gets me excited every single day. And I know that sounds weird and canned, but it's the honest truth.
Yeah.
I love what I do.
I can tell by hanging out with you and being around you too. Like you love what you do.
Oh, I love it. And it's not just it's not necessarily just insurance, the ins and outs of insurance. It's right. The agency building is what we're trying to get across, is the right. agency building and building something that's bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest everybody read the book from Tillman, and I made
Tillman
Fertitta. The Shut Up and Listen.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome book. I was listening to it on my 4.5 hour drive here today, but and I've watched a lot of his YouTube and things like that.
Have you seen The Prophet? His is a
billion dollar buyer. I have seen one or two episodes of it. I don't watch a lot of TV, I love the book, and he says that he feels like he never works a day in his life because he loves what he does.
Totally.
And he said, I don't fear anything, but I worry about everything. That's one of his catchphrases. So, and I'm kind of the same way. I mean, there's nothing to really fear, but I do worry about I worry about, are my agents making enough money? What can I do to make them make more? Are we operating, at 100% efficiency? The answer to that's always going to be no. You can always do something better, but that's part of the fun. It's like a puzzle that you put together.
Constantly.
Right. So you go, we can do this, we can tweak this or that, and my guys can make more money. And again, I always say this, I am not a selfless person. If my guys are making more money, believe me, I'm making more money too, so it's not just a matter of them.
Yeah.
But I do love my people, and I'm nothing makes me happier than writing a big commission check.
Okay.
So anyway, it's so no, I can't separate. I don't I don't have time. If I'm sitting at home relaxing, I'm typically find myself thinking about what we can do to improve, what I can do, what if we try this or what if we try that.
There's also those. I saw Tillman Fertitta at a conference one time. He was amazing. Cardone interviewed him on stage. Also,
yeah.
I read at one point he owned a hotel by the age of 26, and a jet by.
I think it was 30. Maybe?
30.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I'm 33, and I'm like,
where's my jet?
I'm way behind. Where's my jet? We gotta just get a jet. We live close enough. What's cool too is what I was thinking about is like, you love what you do. You have a bunch. You enjoy going to the office, but at the same time, the bigger your business gets, the more problems you probably face. And some days when you're putting this puzzle piece together and you think you've almost got it, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're about to take off. I got this one piece that's got to put in place, and it's amazing. And then somebody comes by and just pushes the whole puzzle off the table and onto the ground.
Yeah.
And there's like chaos and problems and stress and whatever. Dealing with people and clients, everything else, right? Running a business. How do you handle those problems that you maybe didn't have? And how do you think about them when you didn't have them as much when you're making 100 grand a year as a personal producer? Sure, you have problems, but they pale in comparison to the person that's running a seven-figure company.
If you're in business, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way around it, especially if you're pushing hard, you're trying to grow, you're trying to expand. There's going to be problems that you're going to have, and anybody that thinks that they're not, they're delusional because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
you know, I tell myself that, you know, and again, to quote other people that I've read and listened to, that you're never really as good as your best day, but you're never as bad as your worst. So I
love that.
If I have a bad day, I know this is temporary. We're going to work ourselves through it. It's going to be fine. You know, just go back to the plan. Let's, you know, keep grinding. And things always tend to work out. But yes, you're going to have more problems, but they're a different problem. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned Grant Cardone a while ago. He's talking about, you know, well, I'd rather solve a problem with you know, $1 million in the bank than try to solve one with you know, $1,000 in the bank.
True.
So
you've got absolutely. A few more options.
Yeah.
With $1 million. Someone suing you, you're like, ah, I can't do anything.
Nothing I can do.
You got $1,000, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've always loved interviewing you. You've provided excellent content. We could go for hours. I think one final question is, what advice would you give to the person that's like, I have disposable income. My business is profitable. I'm profiting 100, 200, quarter mil, 300 grand a year, whatever. And I really want to take the next step to scale. What advice would you give?
Well, I'm going to say you're going to have to, it's going to be in your brand building. It's going to be in your brand building and lead purchasing and just things that you can do to expand. Mm. You know, you go wide. That's what we want to do. We want to go as wide as humanly possible. Once we get the width, then we'll concentrate on the depth. But for now, we're going wide. So take that money. I mean, you're not going to get, and I've mentioned this before, I think, in one of our other podcast that we've done, that you're never going to get a rate of return on any investment like you are if you invest in your own self. Things like leads, things like, you know, Facebook ads or whatever it may be, you're going to get your greatest rate of return on that, you know, 3x, 4x, 5x, sometimes 10x. You know, I mean, if I get 20% in the stock market, I feel like that I'm a world champion. But you know, you put money in TV ads, you put money in Facebook leads, or you know, whatever kind of leads that you know you can get.
Correct.
You're going to make a lot more money on that. So I'm going to say, invest in yourself. Know for sure that you are on the right path. Not everything's going to work, but that's why you test things. You say, okay, well, it's good. Let's scale it. Let's go a little bit larger with it. See how far we can push it. And if, you know, it doesn't work like you want it to, try something else. There's 1,000 different ways to build your brand and generate income or generate leads, I should say, which generates income. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be, what's the word, malleable, to where you can bend and kind of go, okay, well, that didn't work, so it's not the end of the world. Let's try something else. And that's going to be my advice, is put that money, you're not going to get a better return. Put it back into your business, back into leads, back into programs.
I've seen that out of you too. You're flexible. You're solution oriented. You know, you're constantly looking for ways to improve what you do, which I think is huge. And I appreciate how much you're willing to like get on camera and do content to like give back to the industry and help others. And so if they're out there and they're like, hey man, I want to keep following Bobby Jones and check out Delta Benefits Group, or I want to jump on a call, or I just need some help, where should they go or what should they do?
Well, I mean, anybody that can call me. I say this all the time. I mean, you don't have to be one of my agents. I'm not going to, if you have a
you're not an attorney.
Agency,
you're not
we're
tracking the time.
We're not going to track the time. You can call me for free. I'd love to give advice or at least collaborate and let's come up with a solution to a problem together. But, you know, call me at my office, 901-460-7220. Our website is deltabenefitsgroup.com. But no, I mean, we've got a YouTube channel that you guys have put together for us that's really catching some, getting some footing and going well. So there's lots of ways to find us, but yeah, I mean, the easiest of course is just to pick up the phone and give me a call.
Let's go. I love it. Well, thank you for being back and thank you for being back on the podcast.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate you, buddy. Okay. Thank you guys for hanging out and listening to the Power Player podcast. Once again, I want to remind you, if you're an agent out there and you're like, man, I want to and I'm new and I'm struggling, but dude, I would love to wake up and be Bobby Jones one day, okay? And I can promise you, our Ultimate Agent Academy can help you. Go to Ultimate Agent Academy to get access to me coaching every week, some courses, a cool community of agents all around the world. We have agents from an office in Jamaica that are in the academy, which is pretty cool. And then you get to be on and to get access to some classes with some amazing millionaire entrepreneurs in the insurance space like Mr. Bobby Jones. Appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, share it with somebody else, and we'll see you on the next one. Adios. Hey, if you enjoyed this, I got another one you're going to love. It's right there. Click on it. See you in there. I'm so excited for today's CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. We got a special guest. He is back on the channel talking about how to sell life insurance from home. Here's what I love about this person. Yeah, I'm telling you, this will be one of the best.